to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It's James Edwards indeed. Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live installment of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, September 11th, 2010. I'm coming to you tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, also broadcasting simultaneously to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and online as well, where we simulcast at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Don't forget our broadcast archives are available to you on demand at the conclusion of each program. We've had a very good show tonight, if I do say so myself. I know I say that every week, but, you know, I guess that's true too. Every week is a good show here in the cesspool. Covered a lot of important ground, I think, but now, very pleased to bring to you my next guest, a man who is a good friend of mine. In fact, I just received word a few days ago that this good friend, Paul Fromm, is running for mayor up in Canada. Now, regular Political Cesspool listeners will know that Paul has been a recurring guest on this show since our inception and is well known for being one of Canada's most ardent advocates on behalf of free speech and conservative immigration reform measures. An attorney by trade, Paul Fromm's candidacy should be met with the support of all of those in my listening audience. So, Paul Fromm running for mayor in Canada. Paul, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm very glad to be on, James, and I was talking to Gordon Lee Baum earlier today.
Right.
He urged me to tell people, because they might not know, when I say I'm running for mayor of Mississauga, he said many Americans think, well, that must be a two-horse little town somewhere. As a matter of fact, it's bigger than the city of St. Louis. It's a bedroom community right next door to Toronto, and it has over 600,000 population. So, not exactly a small place. So
Mississauga,
it's
Canada.
It's a challenge, but that's where I live, and that's what I'm doing.
Mississauga, Canada.
Yep.
Mississauga,
that's it. Ontario.
So, you know, Winston Smith, one of my co-hosts, saw our blog entry about your candidacy and said he was actually going to be moving to Canada now to vote for you. So I don't know.
Gosh.
Maybe we'll get a few more people to do that. But now, Paul, you just filed your papers a few days ago, am I right?
Yeah, on Wednesday.
So last Wednesday you filed your papers, and your election day, the day in which you'll face the voters, is October 25th, so a very
short time
window here.
Yeah, so it's a short, quick campaign, and I think the given wisdom is that issues begin to mount, but nobody focuses on the election until after Labor Day. Well, I filed my papers, it'd be 2 days after Labor Day. But that's the nature of the political process. And what I'm doing is using the municipal race as an opportunity to discuss the issue we're not supposed to discuss in Canada, and that's immigration. And, of course, some people will immediately say, oh, but immigration's not a municipal issue. That's federal. Well, of course, that's quite right. It's a federal issue. But what the feds decide has a huge impact on absolutely everything we do. The community I live in is facing massive overcrowding. It's facing traffic gridlock. It's facing high welfare rates. It's facing lots of problems in the schools because of a huge intake of people from the third world. Every one of those comes back to immigration. Now, the standard line of most of our municipal politicians is, isn't immigration great? It brings diversity. Well, I don't see diversity as a good thing. I see diversity as just basically a mess. And I'm the one candidate who'll be prepared to talk about it. I'm the guy who's going to say the emperor has no clothes, and I want to talk about immigration and say, listen, if we want to continue to make this community livable, I, if I'm elected mayor, intend to go up to Ottawa and camp out on the lawn of the Minister of Immigration and demand a 5-year moratorium. Oh, not, not, that's not just a selfish thing for my, our particular community. It's for Canada in general. You know, we have unemployment not quite as bad as yours. It's, we're up around 8.2%. Now that's officially, but the real unemployment rate is considerably higher, probably closer to 15. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. If you've got officially 8.2% unemployment, you don't have any jobs. I mean, what are the newcomers going to do? Well, one of two things. They're going to be unemployed because many of the, only over half of them don't speak English or French, so they're not very employable. So they're going to be unemployed, a burden on the taxpayer, or they'll be employed at a marginal job and poor, which means that they're going to have to be in public housing, which means a burden on the taxpayer. Either they'll be unemployed and a burden, or they will unemploy a Canadian, and therefore make that Canadian a charge on the taxpayers, and inflict the injustice of this person not having a job. So cut it either, no matter how you like. As long as we have high unemployment, we don't need immigration from anywhere. And I think that's what I consider to be an easier sell. Now, long range down the road, when, you know, should the economic situation improve massively, there might at some point be a case for immigration. Then the argument becomes a little more difficult because it's not just, well, where can we find some bodies? I think we've got to be a lot more selective as to who we take in. But I don't think we have to be get there yet. And so I'm going to be using those arguments. And there's some other technical arguments, but that our community is the sixth largest city in Canada. It's the third largest magnet for immigration intake in the country. So it's not at all speculative or anything like that. Immigration has a huge impact on the community. And in addition to that, there right now is a tremendous anger across the country at illegal immigrants. And of course, we were in the middle of a crisis because there was a boat, the Tamil Tigers, one of the world's most ferocious terrorist groups, has a huge base in Canada. And after they lost the insurrection in Sri Lanka in May of last year, they've been trying to move their operatives to Canada. Now, there are already 200,000 of them in Toronto alone. And many of these people actually have had terrorist training. So we have a bad lot here. And last fall, the Tigers sent two ships, one down to Mexico, to Australia as a probe, and one to Canada. You know, it's a typical military operation, it's kind of probe, where would be the easiest place to get in? Well, good time had by one and all Canada proved to be the better target. Australia turned them away, we let them in.
And Paul,
then they, so no, having determined that, they sent another ship, which...
Hold up right there. Got to take a break. Going to let you pick up right where you're leaving off. Stay tuned, everybody. Paul Fromm for mayor. More with that right after this.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the political cesspool. On the line with us now, our featured guest, Paul Fromm, running for mayor of Mississauga, Canada.
It's pronounced Mississauga.
Mississauga, excuse me.
I was going to say the Massasauga rattlesnake, but that's a Canadian phenomenon too, so it gets us not much of a comparison.
I see it now. I was putting the U after the G when it actually appears before the G. Mississauga, Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
600,000 people there.
Oh, right? Yeah, I tell you, it's a big old community.
Right next to Toronto, as Paul Fromm said in his press release, and as he was so eloquently describing in the previous segment, immigration is the issue. I'm reading now from Paul's press release. It's the two-ton elephant in the room that the municipal politicians don't want to discuss. They just want to babble on and on about the supposed benefits of diversity. Immigration impacts almost every major problem in Mississauga. Overcrowded roads, dwindling farmland, the environment, welfare costs. If I'm elected, as Paul said to us live, I'll camp out on the Minister of Immigration's front lawn and demand action. Paul goes on to write that Mississauga is full, it's doubled in size, and goes on to elaborate a little more on the primary issue of his candidacy. Of course, Paul is an in-demand lecturer on immigration all around the world, in Canada, the United States, and Australia. I've had the honor of sharing a stage with Paul at quite a few venues. So, Paul, immigration is the issue that's driving your candidacy. I dare say you're probably the only mayoral candidate in this race that dares touch this issue with a degree of candor. And you're well known up there in Canada for your work, as I'm well known down here. That can be a good or a bad thing. It's normally good with the regular normal people, but not so good with the media, although your candidacy so far has been getting a lot of press and not all of it bad.
That's right. So far, actually, the press has been reasonably fair. It mentioned some of my controversial past. I got fired from my political views after a 24-year career in education and all, but it's been relatively fair. And what really encourages me is it is concentrated largely on my issues, and my issue, and that's immigration. And that's really what this is all about, in my opinion. So far so good, and I'm going to do everything possible to get my name out there. And I know, of course, the enemy is going to rise to the bait. They're going to say, yeah, but you don't know who he is. He looks respectable. But let me tell you. Well, that's fine. Tell them a whole bunch of nonsense and just keep that name before people, because we don't have parties at the municipal level here at least in Ontario. So everybody runs basically as an independent or on their own. And, to be quite cynical about it, name recognition. Often people go into the polling booth and they don't really know any of the candidates and say, oh yeah, kind of heard his name somewhere. Don't quite remember where or what, but yeah, I've heard his name.
What I want to do
is to get enough of a vote to send them a message. As George Wallace used to say, I don't really believe I can win, but I mean, who knows? There's some very weird dynamics going on up here. The mayor is running for, I think she may be a world record, she's running for her 13th term. She's been mayor for 34 years. She's 89.
Wow.
She had, until very recently, had a very good reputation. And more or less rightly so. In many ways, she'd been a pretty good mayor. However, there's been a scandal. Her son is a developer, and there's been some, in fact, we've even had an inquiry that's ongoing as to whether he was making, there was some degree of influence peddling or something like that. I have no idea whether, she just made a mistake or if she's guilty, but it's taken the bloom off the rose. And also a lot of people are saying, well, at 89, she's had a very good run at it. She should have quit while she was well ahead. So I think there's a sentiment for change. And I certainly can capitalize on that, and I've got a very clear issue. Unlike a lot of other candidates who, that's the beauty of being a straightforward white nationalist. I don't have to worry about can I pick up some more Sikh votes, or maybe if I say this I can pick up some Arab votes, or maybe if I do this I can pick up some Chinese votes. I don't give a damn. I'm interested in representing the founding settler people. And, if the others want to vote for me, I'm very, very happy about it, but I certainly don't have to kowtow to anybody.
Hey, Paul, that right there is why you are such a great leader and someone for whom I have a great deal of respect. And, you know, you can't get more mainstream than Paul Fromm. He speaks publicly about the issues that so many people hold privately. And the trick is getting people to act on their gut instincts and stand proudly and support people who are out there on the front lines like Paul. He's a graduate of the University of Toronto. He's got multiple degrees, including a master's. He's a retired English instructor. He's a director on the board of the Council of Conservative Citizens. He's lectured on immigration reform to audiences in 28 cities and 7 Canadian provinces and 10 U.S. states in the past year alone. So this is the guy, the kind of guy that Paul Fromm is, and he's a friend of mine, so that in and of itself is enough, I think. But Paul, you're running for mayor. Mississauga, yes. Canada, right there near Toronto, over 500,000 people in your city. Immigration is your issue. Of course, even though we do have a global audience, including a lot of support up there in Canada, most of our listeners are, of course, here in America. How can we be of service to you, and where can we get more information about your campaign?
Well, probably the easiest thing is to get in touch with me is to email me, and that's really simple. It's paul@paulfromm.com. That's paul@paulfromm.com. And, you know, ask me anything you like. And if you're a Canadian, of course, and if you might want to contribute financially, we could talk about that. I don't want to go into all these things on the air, especially if most of the audience is American. You'd have to be Canadian in order to contribute. If you just like to know what's going on, I'd be glad to send you the bulletins from the campaign. If you'd like to give me a little bit of sort of subtle support, I have a Facebook group called Paul Fromm for Mayor of Mississauga. People look at these, and you know, they count. You know, if you've got 3 people who signed up, it looks as though you're not too popular. This went up 36 hours ago, and I already have over 120 people. So, you know, that's pretty good. But if you'd like to just join up, you of course would be more than welcome. You don't have to be a Canadian. It's just and of course, there's no commitment to anything. It's just showing your support. So it's on Facebook, and it's Paul Fromm for Mayor of Mississauga.
There you go. I'm actually on it right now. Believe it or not, this is the modern day in which we live. I'm sitting here hosting a radio program. I'm on the computer. I'm checking email, even on Facebook now, and I am sitting here. I just joined Paul Fromm for Mayor of Mississauga. So here I am.
Thank you very much, James. And you know, one of the things is, if you get on that, you'll see me in front of a real Canadian flag. And
this
will also be a big finger in the face of the politically correct, because they know what I'm saying. That's the real Canada. In fact, my slogan is Mississauga, the way we were. And that also will mean a lot to the European founding settler folks in little towns like the one I live in, Port Credit, or just up the road in Streetsville or Cooksville. These are the old traditional towns going back to the 1820s. That were amalgamated into this big city called Mississauga. And a lot of people aren't too happy to see what at one point was relatively small town life, urbanized, and not necessarily in a good sense. I mean, I'm not somebody who hates, big cities on principle.
Paul, hang on right there. One second. Sorry to cut you off. Got to take a break. Be right back to wrap it up.
We'll be back right after these messages. The heady suit. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Wanted to keep Paul Fromm on long enough through the commercial break just so we could thank him again for coming on tonight and for waging this campaign on behalf of our people, even all the way up there in Canada. You certainly feel a connectedness to someone who is fighting, you know, with these ideas in mind. And so, therefore, whether or not he's in your town or not, or even in your country or not, he should be supported to the extent that you can. Paul, thank you for coming on tonight, and best of luck. Of course, we'll continue to provide updates for everyone through our website and radio program on how your candidacy is progressing all the way up to Election Day on October 25th.
Thank you very much, James. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to your audience. And the way I look at it is that any little advance against the immigration invasion that's to just inundating North America, whether it's in Canada or whether it's in the United States, every little advance it helps our cause. And, you know, whatever I might be able to do in this election to get the issue discussed a little bit more, I think it's going to be a positive. And I'm really glad to be able to connect with your audience.
Paul, of course, I agree with you, and we really should adopt this all for one and one for all mentality. So wherever our people are fighting, they should be supported for that reason alone. Paul Fromm, I salute you, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, friend.
Thanks. All right. Paul Fromm for mayor of Mississauga, Canada, right there up by Toronto. More information at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, you've heard from David Hill of the Council of Conservative Citizens talking about his event. You heard from Paul Fromm, who's running for mayor. And last week, we showcased a couple of candidates who are also running. We had Ryan Murdaugh, who's seeking state representative office in New Hampshire. We had June Griffin, who's running for governor of Tennessee, on the show last week. Tonight, Paul Fromm, about to have one final guest tonight that you might have heard of before. As soon as we can get him on the line, I talked to him just a couple of hours ago, right before showtime, actually. He's actually in a meeting tonight, but we're going to see if we can pry him away from that meeting to share a couple of words with y'all while he is in the region. So my illustrious studio producer is calling the number right now, and we're going to see if we can get this special guest on the line, dovetailing Paul Fromm, who you just heard from. And don't forget Paul Fromm's Facebook page, Paul Fromm for Mayor of Mississauga. So we're going to keep you posted on that as the situation continues to develop. Now, I want to talk to you about something else real quick while we're waiting on our next guest. Marcia Farney. Now, you've probably never heard of her name before. She is, I believe she's running for school board somewhere in Texas. And Texas Democrats are still hopping mad that they lost the big battle over textbooks this past year, with the social conservatives on the state school board preventing them from turning kids' textbooks into nothing but left-wing propaganda, denouncing white people, American history, American heroes, and filling the pages with tributes to leftist, Marxist, socialists, illegal aliens, and other neglected people of color. So they're pulling out all the stops to try to win a majority on the board this November. They're making automated phone calls to prospective voters in one district, claiming that the GOP candidate Marcia Farney, who again is running for school board there in Texas, attended a white supremacist rally a few months ago. Marcia Farney, conservative candidate running for school board in Texas, is getting attacked by her Democratic opponents for having attended a white supremacist rally. Now, what was this white supremacist rally that they're talking about? Are they talking about some, you know, Klan meeting or something like that? No. They're doing robocalls, automated phone calls to the voters in her district saying that she attended a white supremacist rally, and the rally they're talking about was a Tea Party rally. A Tea Party rally. All right. You know, that's what it's come to, ladies and gentlemen. As I wrote in my book, which I tell you, everybody in my audience, not only in my audience, but every white person in the world that's nominally conservative has to have a copy of my book, Racism Schmacism, because this is what it's all about. You know, they are going to continue. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you believe or how much you grovel. They're going to continue to try to defame our people with these Marxist construct words because they know that by throwing these words like racist and white supremacist around like confetti, it's a surefire way to stop conservative activists dead in their tracks and turn them into just, you know, drooling idiots like Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and the rest of them, who just keep groveling and keep, you know, kissing their rear ends, because, you know, they're never going to learn. They're never going to learn unless they start acting a little bit more like us here in the political cesspool, acting on the courage of their convictions. They need to read my book, though. If you want to buy it for somebody like Marsha Farney, who's being attacked as a white supremacist just because she wants to have American history in the textbooks of schools rather than filling the pages with tributes to a variety of leftists, you want people like that to have a copy of my book so perhaps they can have the courage needed to be a effective warrior in this culture war, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale, of course, benefit this radio program, so you're getting a twofer. You're getting a great book that you can give as a gift to a friend or family member, or keep for yourself, of course, but you're also supporting this radio program with each purchase, and for that, we're eternally grateful. But, you know, conservatives are always going to have – they're always going to be – attacked in this manner until they rise up and stop it. And I give you the solution in my book, and I explain to you exactly how you can stop it. It's sort of like the kryptonite in my book. It's the key, as I've said, to unlock the socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all, and that's why you need a copy of it. But these kind of attacks are the attacks that you can expect from our opposition. I got one. I was just talking earlier. Just case in point, this is a perfect example. It just perfectly timed. Also, I got to thank whichever liberal nitwit, whatever liberal twerp left this, because it makes my point for me, as they always do. I was talking earlier in the last hour about how the Gadsden flag is the new Confederate flag, and how the leftists and the radicalized minorities of this country are waging a war of eradication on everything that is synonymous with Western civilization and the founding European stock of this country. And comment on my blog, as if you were listening as I made my commentary. He says, "You are a blank Southern racist, a piece of blank. You originally came from somewhere, and it sure is blank didn't spring up in this country organically. You're no better than the Mexicans, blank. Blank you." Okay, so you know what goes in those blanks. It's an assortment of curse words that we as gentlemen don't use on this radio program, only in private, of course, but he does it publicly because that's the kind of caliber you get with this opposition. But go check it out. Go check it out and leave some replies to this guy, if you will. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Click on the "Don't Tread on Me, Gadsden Flag is the New Confederate Flag." That's the article title. Scroll down to the bottom, read that comment, and let him know what you think about these sort of liberal hate feel. You want to talk about hate? You know, because we love our people, and because our people happen to be of European descent, you know, it's hatred for our people to love our people. But it's okay for everyone else to love their families. But comments like this, you know, that's not hateful, because he's attacking a Southerner. He's attacking a white person. But check it out. This is pretty indicative of what I'm up against and you know, what we got to deal with out there. But, you know, and he makes also the comment, and I know it's been so thoroughly understood by anyone who has an elementary grasp of history, you know, as if white people didn't found this country. He wants to say the American Indians founded this country. Well, it's true that there were a couple of hundred thousand Indian squatters on this land. They no more founded this land or settled this land than a bum living under a highway overpass has a right to that property. Yes, they were physically on this land, but they were at war with one another. They were at war with our people from the moment we set foot on this continent. And, you know, for the benefit of everyone, I think our people came and we won the day and we settled this country and we made a nation here that has no peer. And but the American Indians that's just foolish to believe that they were just some thriving country here that we eradicated. That wasn't the case at all. We'll be back.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here with you. Looks like our third and final guest won't be making the program tonight after all, which is fine. We'll get him on another time. No big deal. Would have been a nice surprise, but I talked to him just before the show. He was saying, no, come on, can I come on for 10 minutes? Sure. But he was in the middle of a meeting, so we'll get back to him. This is why we didn't publicize it, just in case this happened, but we'll get him next week. He's been on many times before. If anyone wants to call in, we've had a great show tonight. Great show tonight, going back all the way to the first hour. Keith Alexander and I were talking about the scheduled Koran burning that never happened down in Florida. The NAACP formed a new Tea Party tracker. We talked about race consciousness, how all other ethnic minority groups are encouraged to have it and are allowed to have it, whereas we aren't. We talked about consolidation and what's in play there. We then moved on to the second hour, in which we discussed how it is illegal for employees to ask questions of their job candidates, any important questions anyway. And we talked about how the Gadsden flag is the new Confederate flag. Spoke with David Hill of the Council of Conservative Citizens about a big meeting they're having. And, of course, Paul Fromm running for mayor in Mississauga, Canada. It's been a very, very busy show. Well, what did you think about the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen? We'll open up the phone lines here for the last 5 or 6 minutes of the program. Take a call, maybe two. If you want to drop a dime and give me a ring, I would love to hear from you. The number, of course, is 1-866-986-NEWS. 1-866-986-NEWS if you want to quickly call in and say hello to me here on the Political Cesspool radio program this evening. Put a story up on my website a couple of weeks ago, actually. And, of course, as you know, every story that we bring to your attention on this radio program, or the vast majority of those we bring to your attention on this radio program, are anchored on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, where we include numerous links and references to everything that we talk about on the program. We really want everything that we advocate to be rooted in fact, everything that we claim to be rooted in fact, and there it is. So on our blog, which is the perfect complement to the radio program, they work hand in hand. Our website and our radio show certainly complement one another. And a couple of weeks ago, I wrote a tongue-in-cheek entry in which I talked about how, at long last, liberal churches have decided that they can no longer remain silent, They must start speaking out against racism because, no one else in this country is. I mean, we know what the modern-day definition of racism is. It no longer means those who have hatred or ill will towards folks who are of a different stock. Today, a racist is simply a white person, and racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't like. But anyway, they didn't get the memo at these liberal churches, and the World Council of Churches are going to be meeting in Cleveland to tackle racism. And it says here in this article, members of the World Council of Churches representing more than 560 million Christians, quote unquote, in 110 countries, will gather in Cleveland to discuss how to expose and combat racism around the globe. The four-day seminar will include about 30 people from churches all around the world, and will be hosted by the Cleveland-based United Church of Christ. And the Reverend Linda, and I love female reverends, by the way, not the Reverend Linda Jaramillo, says that we need to address the underground systematic issues of racism. Now, you remember, though, and then again, this is going to be hosted by the United Church of Christ. You remember the United Church of Christ, don't you? That's the denomination that's home to Jeremiah Wright's Trinity United Church of Hate. So you know this is going to be good. Whatever they come out with here, whatever they figure out up there at this meeting, I'm sure is going to be very level-headed and objective, don't you? Almost as level-headed and objective as this financial reform bill, this new financial reform, quote-unquote financial reform package that just passed into law a few weeks ago also. It's loaded with all kinds of affirmative action goodies and quotas. Firms that still aren't meeting the diversity goals, quote-unquote, will be severely punished by the federal government. And they say it's necessary because finance, are you listening to this? Finance is dominated by white males. And, of course, that is untrue. Finance is dominated by Jewish males, but they won't suffer under these new rules. They'll be fine. And they'll continue to hire lots of their fellow Jews, along with tons of blacks, Asians, Hispanics, Eskimos, Arabs, homosexuals, Hindus, etc. It's the white men who will be getting the shaft, as always. And this is what the story reads. The recently enacted financial reform legislation tries in numerous ways to change how Wall Street companies and their federal regulators act, but a little notice provision aims for something potentially more difficult and controversial, altering how they look. Doesn't that sound good? To promote diversity in the largely white male world, the law requires each of the 30 federal financial agencies and departments, including the Securities and Exchange Commission and all 12 Federal Reserve banks, to establish an office of minority and include women. Those offices will have vaguely defined powers to boost diversity at their agencies and the companies they regulate, and to increase federal contracting opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses. Banks and other financial firms that fail to make a good-faith effort to include minorities and women in their workforce could lose their government contracts. This is a wake-up call for Wall Street. Women, black Americans, Asian Americans, Latino Americans, they all pay for your bailouts, said Michael Yackey, a member of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. Oh, hell. Let me repeat that. Okay? The federal government's passing yet another law that requires the financial sector to now establish an Office of Minority and Women Inclusion at all 12 of the Federal Reserve banks. And the reason they're doing that, they say, is that this has to occur because the firms must take steps to be more reflective of America, because the people who are supposedly being discriminated against, as we know in the case, the only people being discriminated against in hiring, particularly in government hiring, are whites, and that's just obvious, you know, everybody knows that. But the people that are being discriminated against, they say, this idiot who's the in charge of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, says that women, black Americans, Asian Americans, Latino Americans, they're the ones who are paying for the bailouts of the financial sector. Well, my God, that was news to me, folks. I don't know. Is that news to you or what? Because I sure didn't draw that conclusion. I don't think anyone with a brain drew that conclusion. Of course, anything like this had to be championed by a true reprobate, and the champion of this measure was none less than Her Highness Representative Maxine Waters. So that's the news. That's the news. Financial reform, what that really means is no jobs for white men. And while we're on the topic of Maxine Waters, we'll come full circle now and go all the way back to where we were in the beginning when we were talking about the Koran. Maxine Waters just happened to be one of the millions of people who came out and denounced this proposed burning of the Koran by this white minister in Florida. But in 1992, when blacks were looting and burning down parts of Los Angeles, Maxine Waters said, quote, "No justice, no peace," end quote. So you got that? Blacks can burn down American cities, but one white person can't burn a single book on his or her private property, according to Maxine Waters. And these are the people that are in charge of writing federal laws that target white males exclusively, as is the case in this new financial bailout measure. Folks, that's it for the show this week. I love you all. On behalf of my entire hosting staff, thank you for tuning in tonight. I will be gone next week. I'm taking the week off. My wife and I will be going to see a concert. Bill Rowland will be filling in for me on the show a week from tonight. He has some great guests lined up, so be sure to tune in to that installment of The Cesspool, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. But tune in next week for Bill Rowland. We'll see you then, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.